Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Day today is the 22nd of November, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show. Presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again, man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of the same company, The Wonderful Athletic. James.
You can do it.
It's been a tough weekend. We are standing here today on the heels of we're actually in the midst of a West Coast road trip for the Pistons.
Yes,
and just the other day,
I'm getting my butt.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, the beautiful weather in LA, the time change, being here in Denver, where it's cold, and the time change. If I sound different, it's because I am congested, and I also did not bring my microphone on this trip, so I apologize. You just have one more week of regular internal computer microphone people. I apologize.
I just realized technically we may have to stop the podcast. That means that you can't record externally, right? We have to use Zoom audio.
I'm doing internal microphone on my QuickTime.
Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, we don't have to restart this then. All right, cool.
No.
Let me just start recording this just to be sure. Okay, James, before the West Coast trip started, or rather in the middle of it, you had quite the announcement with Shams regarding Cade. Chance he's out for the year.
Yeah, so Shams and I reported that there's fear that Cade has a fracture of sorts in his shin tibia area. I've been told that Cade has been doing everything, turning over every stone to avoid getting the surgery, which would ultimately put him out for the year. I think Rodney McGruder had the same injury. And he missed 60 games, but he was able to come back because he got his in like October. So it's, when you look around the league and people who have gotten this surgery, it's about 60 games. So Cade would essentially miss the whole season. Yeah, man, tough news. He's trying to do everything. It's essentially right now for him like a pain tolerance. Right. And it's something that has bothered him for quite some time, to my knowledge. The Pistons, I've been told, have actually recommended that he get the surgery. They'd rather have him get this done and be over and have it be over with in terms of just because if he doesn't, there's a chance like he'll miss from here on out. If it doesn't heal with rest, which, I mean, my guess is it'll just be a continuous flare-up of whatever is going on there. Like he could miss weeks at a time every season or something like that. So they're recommending he get the surgery and just be done with it.
Right. Get the surgery as what, a 20-year-old as a 21-year-old and get it out of the way.
Yeah, and Cade, of course, is a competitor and wants to be out there with his team and wants to play. But, of course, the Pistons are far more invested in the future of Cade than him coming back in a 3-15 season trying to save the day.
Right. And I also, I mean, let's just call it what it is. How surprised are you really? Really, a team that's not very good is like, yeah, our best player, you should get season-ending surgery because we definitely don't see who is on the horizon in the next draft. And Adam Silver is definitely on people's cases about purposely losing. So if your best player gets season-ending surgery, then your hands are tied. What are we supposed to do if Victor Wembanyama ends up on this team? Which, if there is any silver lining to be found, is now that's like a, oh, so Scoot Henderson might be on this basketball team. Victor Wembanyama might be on this basketball team. So as a Pistons fan, there is it's horrible and it really sucks to see your best player potentially out for the year. And I said this last night on Reddit. I made a post about it. If nothing else, right, if he is going to be out, it is really nice to see that Cade Cunningham might be one of the better bench mob guys that we've had in recent years. Because he's been hyping his dudes up. And then I said, additionally, but less significant, he's also putting league fits on notice. His pants last night in Sacramento were incredible. The button down he was wearing against the Lakers on the bench was incredible. I think it was the third quarter when Bagley picked up his fifth, and it was a phantom foul. I mean, he literally didn't touch the guy.
Yeah, that was a bad call.
Cade was going off. So again, man, if nothing else, it's super duper cool to see that. Can I ask you a logistical question?
Please.
And I don't know if you're allowed to answer this, so if I'm putting you on the spot, then don't. But let's say what did you report that on? Saturday? Maybe Friday?
Saturday.
Okay. How early in it, like, how long are you sitting on that? Like, how long are we all speculating about what it might be, and you actually already know and just have to watch everybody going crazy about it? And it doesn't matter, but I'm just curious.
I'll answer it. I had been aware that this could be more serious, and you know this.
Well, I wasn't going to say that because I don't like to blow up your spot, but yes,
I had been aware that this could be more serious since the beginning of the week. So the beginning of last week, the start of the West Coast trip.
See,
And out of respect for the process of the job, out of respect for everybody involved, you turn over every stone to make sure if you're going to put this stuff out there that it's accurate. And so, yeah, it was on my radar early in the week, maybe even late the week before, but early in the week for sure. And Shams and I were in constant communication for the week until we eventually went with the story on Saturday.
Can I give you a little tip? Anytime I ever say, hey, man, I don't know if you're allowed to answer this, I already know the answer. I just, well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But usually when I phrase it that way, it's because I think it's really interesting, and I just like other people to get to see the sort of behind the scenes. Now, to be fair, I didn't actually know when you definitively knew.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Sacramento Kings game last night.
It is certainly, just really quick on that. It is certainly, it's definitely, it's certainly tough because you're like, I have like a bird's eye view. Like I'm on Twitter and everybody's just like throwing out just random speculation, like shin splints.
Yeah.
At least we'll have like Isaiah Stewart goes down. And it's like, well, at least we'll have Cade on, and Sadiq Bey goes down. It's like, well, at least we'll have Cade on Sunday. And I'm just like, I can't say anything.
He's,
you know,
not
going
to be there.
Yeah.
He's not going to be there. Played the Sacramento Kings as of this recording last night. Ooh, the World Cup starts today, dude. I haven't figured out who I'm rooting for yet. If I'm rooting for the States or if I'm rooting for England, probably going to root for the U.S. But anyways, played the Sacramento Kings last night. I didn't know this. A sworn rivalry between Pistons and Kings fans. Apparently, some stuff popped off over the summer, either pre-draft or I think post-draft is what the problem was, because I guess Pistons fans just clowned Kings fans for taking Keegan and not Ivy, and then that created a bunch of animosity. I was unaware of this. I had no idea.
Were you really? I thought you were doing a shtick right now. You didn't know this?
I was not locked in during pre-draft because, remember, this last year, I took the hard stance of, like, I'm not doing this with people this year. I like my guys. I understand why people like their guys. I'm not doing the fighting this year. So, honestly, I had no idea that it got as bad as it apparently did.
And then I added sauce. I juiced it up with my – remember when that somebody retweeted that guy from Sacramento on my page where he said during summer league, where he's like, at least Keegan – not only does Keegan have to play for the Pistons, he doesn't have to live in Detroit. And then I got into it with Mark Jones when I, unbeknownst to him, revealed to him that every NBA beat writer thinks Sacramento is at the bottom of their list. So, yeah, I mean, I went into Sacramento ready for war.
Yeah. See, I actually, how do I say this? Kings fans remember you. I did see you get brought up in their subreddit, and the guy was like, oh, yeah, this fucking guy. And I was like, hey, he's not just this fucking guy. That's actually my podcast co-host, James Edwards III of The Athletic, which, by the way, I was thinking about it just the other day. And I was like, do I know James's middle name? I go, oh, yeah, it's Edwards. And then I was like, wait.
Do you know
as in the joke
name?
Would be, yeah, no, I don't actually know your middle name.
Do you know what it starts with?
No.
Well, you should know because my Twitter is JL Edwards.
Oh my gosh, that's what the L is.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had not put two and two together on that. Lawrence?
Close.
Lazarus?
No. Go back to what's short for Lawrence?
Larry.
There you go.
Oh, nice. James Larry Edwards III of The Athletic. Man, that's a mouthful. It's like a royal name. But anyways, sorry, I got off track there. Sacramento Kings, can I tell you something I really appreciated about that crowd? I liked the booing of Marvin Bagley, and the only reason I liked it has nothing to do, because I actually think the booing was lame, but I get it, but I think it was lame. But I liked it because for an NBA game, it was a very hostile crowd, and it was, they were like some college vibes to it.
It was
and
jumping.
I actually Yeah, I give them a lot of credit. I give the people in the control room a lot of credit. You know, they're playing some good music, getting people riled up the entire game. They were energetic the entire time, and even if it's a team that I'm supposed to hate, which I don't think the Kings are, I refuse to get into a rivalry with them. That's not real.
You love the Kings.
I like the Kings. I have historically loved the Kings. So me, of all people, like, people may remember, the Kings were my Bucks before the Bucks. You know yes. what I mean? Like, the yeah. Kings were first. So I have nothing but love in my heart for them. It was a great crowd last night in Golden 1 Center, and it definitely made for a really interesting game. Now,
yeah, the game. Yeah, well, the game. Well, first, Sacramento's terrible as a city. But the one cool thing that they do is every time we're there in their intros, when they do the Pistons, they show it on the Jumbotron, like a broke down car.
A car, yeah.
Yeah, as a, like, the, it's pretty funny. But yeah, like, I mean, I think the conversation starts and ends here. The Pistons scored 128 points and lost a basketball game.
Yeah, to the highest scoring offense in the NBA. I mean, you get into a boat race with them, what do you expect is going to happen? Still a really fun game, though. It honestly felt like a Lions game.
Yeah, it was very, yeah, early Lions this season. Yeah, for sure. The defense has actually played better for Lions. So, shout out to them. But they got to address the defense. Like, I wrote today, you could check it out on The Athletic. I get that Duren's raw. I get that he's young. And I get that he'll probably get feasted on by the Embiids of the world.
Say it.
But they have.
Say what you're about to say.
I think we're getting near the point where at least it should be a consideration that he starts.
Thank you.
There are things defensively that he still needs to work on. I don't think he's always around the rim when he should be. But I just think in terms of upside, like with Isaiah Stewart out, I think like they have to try to fix something. And I think Duren's really kind of the only stone they haven't turned over. And whether that's start with Bagley and they sacrifice offense, or whether that's bring Bagley off the bench, like, yeah, you could go either way. Like, at this point, I don't think I wouldn't gripe if they started both of those two to sacrifice offense, because the defense has just been bad.
Yeah.
Well, so that needs to get addressed, I think, soon.
What I didn't quite understand, why was there no Nerlens against Sacramento? I really could have used him. What was going on?
I mean, I don't know. As I think we've talked about it on here before, I don't know if Dwayne yet trusts Nerlens. And there's a reason, Duren and Bagley each had three fouls in the first 5 minutes.
I was going to say, I feel like he only played like 8 minutes, but he still played.
Yeah.
As like a break glass in case of emergency, which I feel like last night at some point, you might have needed him, especially on defense.
Yeah. I'll just say there's a reason he's not playing. If the coach had trust in him, he would play.
Gotcha. The other thing that I wanted to mention, actually, well, you know what? It does kind of go into the Jalen Duren thing. You know, let me find this thing that I Googled really quick.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, let's stay on top of the Duren and then we'll switch.
Yeah, I have it right here. Google defines hypocrisy as the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's behavior does not conform. And James Edwards III of The Athletic, the reason that I am reading you this is because a few weeks ago, and for a few years, I have made fun of people who have clamored for Dwayne Casey to not have a job. I am not going to sit here today and say that he should not have a job. However, I do think it's unfair to do this after the Kings game, because that's a game that, it was a fun game, and I think they played really spirited basketball, and, you know, with the roster that they had, what were you supposed to do in that game, right? They made it a fun game. Like I said, you got into a boat race with the highest scoring offense in the NBA. What did you think was going to happen? But you look at something like not starting Jalen Duren, you look at something as simple as, you know, Bagley picks up five fouls with 3 minutes left in the third, even more time than that, if that's what it was. And you bring him back in down the stretch in place of Jalen Duren. Marvin Bagley isn't that great on defense. I would say Jalen Duren is more serviceable, probably, right? Maybe a little bit more equipped.
Yes.
Even as a 19-year-old to deal with Sabonis down low. So my question is, I think in a season where Detroit is just going to have to keep kicking the can down the road, okay, fine, can't really make the step that maybe we wanted to make this year. Let's just extend the timeline here a little bit. I checked it this morning because I always ask you about this, but I finally just checked it myself. Dwayne's last year is technically next year with the extension. Mm-hmm. After the extension that was signed, he originally would have been done this year, quote unquote done. And then he got the extension, so he has one more year. So next year is technically his last year. Do you think there's a conversation at the end of the year where the Pistons roster might end up in a place, depending on maybe where you pick in the draft? If you know that you're about to land, you know, Victor or Scoot, maybe you do this, right? Do you kind of just go, hey, Dwayne, I think we're ready to take this to the next step. Do you want to spearhead the next coaching search with Troy, but like you're done? What do you think?
Well, I think those conversations always happen at the end of every season, and I don't think the end of next year will be any different, especially with him only having 1 year left on his extension or his contract. I think that's something that's, if they haven't had the conversations about what's next, surely this summer they will. Just like I said, there's only 1 year left on his deal. So, I don't know if I would pick the Kings game as the one where
that would be unfair. That's not the principle of it. It's more about me over the last week since we last recorded, you know, watching the Clipper game, watching the Laker game, watching the Kings game. And it's more so just an amalgamation of information. Didn't mean to rhyme there.
Yeah. I think what's getting lost, I hate saying this. If you look at the Pistons for the last week, they're like not, again, they're not winning. So I don't want to I don't want to overhype this, but they haven't got blasted in a while. And they're shorthanded. I mean, they're without their best player.
Yeah.
They're without the heart and soul of their team.
Yep.
As soon as Alec Burks came back, they've been competitive in every game. You'd make the case that you can make the case that even if they didn't have Cade and they just had Stewart, they win both LA games. And probably Sacramento.
The Laker game, most definitely. I mean, you're up by 14 points in that game, and then you lose. So, yeah.
There was just struggles in the front court.
So
to answer your question, I'm sure that that conversation will be had at the end of the year. Yes. I don't think it will. I remain firm that unless there's just like locker room anarchy, which I just don't see this group having that. And I don't see Dwayne and Troy running a program that would have that there. I just still do not believe that there is Dwayne. If they start next year with Dwayne, he's going to finish the year. I just think that's how they operate.
Which goes perfectly into what my question is. Do we think Troy Weaver, let's speculate, do we think Troy Weaver is a mid-season fire type of guy?
I think he would. I just don't think he would do that to Dwayne Casey.
Okay, that's kind of the answer I was looking for. Perfect. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to get my two Alec Burks observations off, so thank you for bringing him up. You mind if I do that real quick? Very brief.
And he's balling. And
nobody's.
Remember when I told you I got yelled at because I said the Pistons would be more competitive when Alec Burks came back?
Did you get yelled at for that? That would have been silly.
Yeah, somebody told me that them adding. I said adding Burks and Bagley will help make them more competitive, and somebody said, "No, rotation guys. Like if we're banking on rotation guys to do that, he's like, I don't believe you. Like this is not going to happen. I just want to say that they've been competitive since Alec Burks came back.
But that guy knows nothing about anything. If you think that role players don't matter, okay. Alec Burks observations. Nobody on the team whose jersey gets untucked faster than Alec Burks. That was my first observation.
Yeah.
Second observation is Alec Burks an awesome lob man.
That one to Duren was nice. That was a tough throw.
The guy spends, 2 years with Mitchell Robinson and is now Jason Williams? What was happening with some of these lobs? Burks was awesome.
Burks has been good offensively, and the thing is he's not even in shape yet. Like he's averaging 15, 49% from the field, 40% from three. and he's only playing 21 minutes a game.
Yeah.
He's been awesome. Everyone's like, well, do we see what we can get at the deadline? No, I don't. You have him under contract again after next year. The goal is next year is to be competitive with all the cap space, hopefully in their case being healthy. You bring Burks back. Like, Burks is a professional bucket. He's LLD or LLC. Alec Burks, LLC, professional bucket.
Last night, I was doing a bunch of research for a video that I'm working on, and I don't want to give away all of the data that I was breaking down because I want to save some of it for the video. But if you'll indulge me, I think some Pistons fans might be interested in this. Gathered a lot of lottery data. Let me pull this up real quick. And what I wanted to see was I looked at the history of the lottery, and I wanted to find out, you know, does the first worst record win the lottery the most? Is it the second worst? Is it the third worst? Do you get where I'm going with this?
Ooh, I like this.
Like which record is the most likely and has historically actually won the lottery the most?
I would say the third worst record.
You think the third worst record has won the most lotteries of all time?
Yeah.
James, you would be absolutely correct. They have won it 8 times. Second best is the worst record in the league. They've won it 7 times. Second worst record has won it 6 times. Okay, that's the top 3. Some interesting information about it. The 6th worst record has never won the lottery, similar to the 10th worst record, never won the lottery. And the worst was the Magic in 1993, which was the the Chris Webber, the Penny Hardaway draft. That was the thing in Detroit.
The only draft in Detroit, yeah. You can read about that at The Athletic.
5th worst has gotten a couple, but yeah, so 3rd worst, that actually was not the Pistons. The Pistons were 2nd worst. And I even went as far as to do what the average win total was for the 3rd worst team. So it's like, okay, so the 3rd worst record wins the lottery most of the time, right, mm-hmm. historically. So the odds would say you have the best chance then, historically, to win the lottery if you have the 3rd worst record. Are you listening, Pistons fans? So we want to aim for 3rd worst. Not only that, the average win total for that team is 19.6. I'd say Detroit is right around there. Also would be the under would hit on the over-under win total at 9.5 was where it closed.
Told you back in July anyway, but yeah.
And we were expecting that Cade was going to play the whole year. So, yeah. So that would be great. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Of those 8 teams who have won the lottery with the 3rd worst record of all time, I tried to see where's the commonality? Where are these teams similar? What's the path here? What's the formula, right?
I like this. This absolutely means nothing because it's the luck of the draw, but this is very good information.
I took every single one of their combined records against teams in the NBA. So what I'm saying is the teams who won the lottery with the 3rd worst record in the NBA are a combined 5-19 against Milwaukee. They're a combined 5-14 against Washington. So where I'm going with this is these teams have the lowest win percentage against teams like New York, Portland, and Houston. These are the teams you need to lose to historically. The teams who win the lottery the most have the highest winning percentage against Cleveland, Golden State, and Utah. So we've already beat Golden State once this year. And I know that when you throw a bunch of data at somebody, especially over a podcast, it's going to be hard to. This is why I'm trying to say most of. It's tough. So I'm going to leave most of this for the video when I'm actually able to visualize it. But Pistons fans, here's what you need to know. We need the 3rd worst record, and we need to win like 19 games, and then we will win. I'm like coming up with like a whole theory. I'm calling it the theory of volatility. I'm really excited for it. It's basically how to manipulate the draft.
I love this information. I think it's a very BNC hole to go down. I love it.
Yes.
I think the only issue with the data you've presented is the lottery has switched to where, yeah, what you're saying is true. Like maybe the worst record doesn't always get the number one pick or doesn't most often get the number one pick. However, having the worst record guarantees a top 5 pick.
Yes, it does.
So if you have the 3rd worst record, which we're saying is most historically the odds historically of most number likely. One, yep. But that also means you could pick seventh.
Yeah, the margin for error is way greater.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Would you?
Wouldn't it be eighth?
No, isn't 1-5, 2-6, and 3-7?
I'm sorry, you're right. Yep.
I believe.
Yeah. No, that sounds right.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I love that. That was good. I think
cool.
It's a great. Shout out to Killian Hayes.
Hey, L.A. Mike. Give a shout out to L.A. Mike.
You shout out to L.A. Mike. Oh, really quick before we get into Killian.
Oh, my! I'm so sorry. We should have led with this. This was the, I have not felt this genuinely proud of you in a really. I don't know when the last time was.
About L.A. Mike or Killian?
No. About who bumped into you and who shook your hand at the Laker game. I'm sorry, the Clipper game.
That's story time with James. We'll do that at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
First of all, shout out to L.A. Mike. Shout out to Andrew Cohen. I forgot the other young man's name I met. Listen, I want to say this to L.A. L.A. residents, I love you guys. The amount of love I got in L.A. was crazy.
Must be nice. Like, they ran my ass out of town.
No, that was the internet. First and foremost, like, I don't know if people know, there are a lot of Pistons fans in L.A. But, yeah. Like, over a two-day period, I had, like, 5 or 6 people, like, come up to me and, like, say, like, they read or listen to the pod. Like, shout out L.A. Mike, Andrew Cohen. Like, I forgot the young man's name. I apologize. He was with his dad and his brother or his
Andrew
friend.
Andrew Cohen's the musician, right? I think I remember him.
Yeah, he's the one that's trying to link us with Danny. I met him. But, like, I appreciate each and every one of you guys. Like, it was crazy. That was really cool. And, yeah, so shout out to L.A. Mike. I told you I'd shout you out on the pod. Oh, he was the one that pitched us the nickname when we were Sadiq. He was calling him the Stroker. You remember that guy?
I don't remember that at all, but that sounds like something that would have happened.
Yeah, and we said we weren't feeling it. And then he had a nickname for Jaden and Cade. It was oh my gosh.
Caden?
No, it was like it was a car reference. Sheesh. LA Mike, if you're listening to this, send us what the car reference nickname for Ivy and Cade was. It was really good.
Send it to us via email, bunandcardigan@gmail.com. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the email does still exist.
Yes, and please, we're going to do a mailbag episode next week, so send us questions there.
We're supposed to do that this week.
We had enough stuff to talk about.
Do you want to talk about Sadiq?
Let's talk about Killian first.
I'm sorry, you brought up Killian first. Let's do Kill.
Of the active players who are available to play, I'm going to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Rank the best spot up shooters as we record this.
I'm counting Sadiq as available to play.
That's fine.
Because all intents and purposes, he
go
is.
Ahead. Because Isaiah and Cade are off the board.
Right. Bojan Bogdanović, mm-hmm. Number one.
Agreed.
He's number one. I would love to put Sadiq 2, and I think for all intents and purposes, I'm going to put Alec Burks at 2.
There you go.
Yep, Alec Burks at 2. Because he's still just now getting back in my head, so it's hard for me to remember that. Like, oh, yeah, I can say Alec Burks.
Yep.
Sadiq is 3.
Nope.
Who's 3? Kojo is 3.
Nope.
Stop. I know. Okay. All right. Do it. Go ahead. Say it.
It's Killian Hayes. Shout out to Killian Hayes. The way he is shooting the ball over this last 7 games. He is shooting 39% from 3.
Yeah.
3 attempts per game. You certainly see he's definitely more comfortable with his new release, which, again, people, patience. Like, let things happen. It's not even been 20 games, but the last 7 he's been shooting damn near lights out. He's getting to his spots in the mid-range. He's not playing much different, just shots are falling. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for how competitive the team has been the last week. They've had a chance to win every single game, except when Tatum went white hot late in the fourth. You just couldn't stop that. But every other game they had a chance to win, and Killian is a reason why. He's been good. And kudos to him for, I don't know how much he's on social media. I don't know how much he sees the fan anger towards him at time. Like, he's blocked all that out. And again, he has to do this. He doesn't have to shoot 39% from three for an extended period. But he has to be more consistent. The way he's played this last week, he has to do this for a longer stretch, but I think before universally people start to change the narrative on him. But if you sat here and watched him this last week and you think that he hasn't gotten better, you're just like hating just to hate.
Yeah.
His shot has improved. He's more comfortable with the new release, which I wrote about on The Athletic over training camp. You can go read. Just kudos to Killian for blocking out the noise, getting over that funk, that slump, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
Well, and he's actually just taking the shot. Sometimes it's just as simple as that.
I think he's been fairly aggressive this year. It's just the shots weren't falling. He still needs to improve around the rim. He still has struggled at the rim. But his jump shot and his ability to space the floor, and teams are still leaving him wide open. He's making him pay, though. And I just think he deserves some credit for the way he was going through it the first week and a half, 2 weeks of the season. For him to turn it around and take advantage of this opportunity he's gotten with Kate out is well deserved, and he's been playing some solid ball the past week and a half.
Well, if we want to be honest, James, I don't like to give us too much credit, if that's what you want to call it, but it did happen immediately after we published the Killian Hayes episode, and we went dad mode on everyone and was like, cut it out.
Yeah, that's how that pod came off, right? Like, I didn't want to... That's how the pod came off, right? Like, it didn't come off like we were shitting on him. We were like, why is everybody like just harping on him so hard, right? That's what my intention was.
It should have come off as both.
Well, yeah, I think we said he has struggled and he's,
yeah,
but we also like, I think
I tell you what I yeah. read, I told you this, I read what people were saying about it, and I could tell that the people who were upset about it were the ones who didn't listen, because the ones who were complaining about us talking about it were like, oh, stop getting on your knees for Killian Hayes. And I'm like, we spent 45 minutes being like, he kind of sucks. Stop talking about him so much.
No, we didn't say he sucks. We said he struggled.
Hold on. Let's not do this.
We don't use the word sucks.
I do.
You do. I don't. Yeah, you said he sucks. I said he
struggled. That's what we were doing. It's fine. Because in retrospect, he did. And he was. So we made a podcast talking about it. And people were upset because they thought that we were like, oh, well, he's actually good. And
yeah, that's not what we were saying.
And that's not what we were doing. So the people who were mad about it, I didn't know. Can I tell you something, though? I was thinking about this the other day. I have no idea. And I like to think I'm pretty tapped in with what people's opinions on the show are. There are some things I don't know, though. Like, why do people listen? And I don't mean like, obviously, I know why people listen. Because why do you listen
if you don't agree or hate us?
No. I don't even mean it like that. I just mean like, do people find the show funny? Do they find it informative? Like, what is the, like, I think sometimes funny things happen on the show, but I don't know, like, what label people would slap on the show. I have no idea. So it's things like that that are interesting to me.
I think it's entertaining. Of course people,
maybe.
I've had people tell me, like, what they like about our shows. There might be other pods that are more serious with the X's and O's and stuff. And I do that in my writing. Like, that's what that's for. This is two guys sitting at a bar, one just happens to cover the team and one happens to be a diehard fan. Like, and I think it comes off perfect. Like, you get your mix of two drunk guys talking and jokes happening, and then you get your mix of professionalism with the information that you get on this pod. It comes from somebody. Like, I think we have a great podcast, if I may say so myself.
Did James just leak that we have, in fact, been drunk for all 112 episodes of the Bun and Cardigan Show?
Just two drunk guys hanging out.
I couldn't. I had half a glass of Moscato a week ago, was like on the floor, because I haven't had alcohol in 4 months.
That's a lie.
So that's not a lie. Let's not do this. That's not a lie.
Sorry, Grandma Hinkle.
I haven't smoking a lot of weed, though. So anyways, the Sadiq Bey thing.
He's not human.
What? He's not been great.
I'm talking about like physically.
Oh, well, yeah, he's a specimen. He's a unit. We know that.
So that was the first. So he sprained his ankle, turned his ankle in the Laker game, right? I'm trying to remember because they were back to back. Yeah, Laker game.
Yeah.
And I had never seen him show pain. and he like was going through it on the bench, and I was like, oh, if this guy's showing pain, like the guy who's played 150 plus games, and who like is obsessed with the Joker, if he's showing pain, like he's about to be out for a little bit.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, he's listed as Saturday and off day. He's listed as out. I'm like, oh, that's expected. I'm expecting Sadiq to be out like a couple weeks based on how he looked. I saw him in the locker room after the Laker game, and like he was able to put like weight on his foot, and it wasn't, but like he was clearly in pain. Like he had to like maneuver around, like he was in pain. And then Kings game comes, and Sadiq's questionable. He's out on the floor doing closeouts and trying to play, and he ended up not playing. But it sounds like that guy is like could easily play Tuesday in Denver.
Goodness gracious.
So, yeah, it's sad if you're a Pistons fan, like the injuries that they've had. Of course they miss Cade. Like, that goes without question. But, I said, I think they're 3-0 on this trip if they have Isaiah Stewart, just based on how some of these games have gone. So.
Similar in the way that I've kind of been on board with people finally in the fun aspect of the Pistons, where it's like, hey, I know we're supposed to be bad. Like, stop telling me we were supposed to be bad. I know we're supposed to be bad. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we're supposed to be this bad, though. That's kind of where all the Casey stuff was coming from, is I'm kind of empathizing with those people where sometimes it doesn't have to be this hard. But I would also apply that to the Sadiq thing, where I think people are so headstrong in either camp, whether they are against Sadiq this year or they're in the Sadiq hive, and it's, you know, he can't do anything wrong. Do you wonder if we're just trying to make him do too much at once this year? Like, we're throwing a lot at him and we're trying to be like, okay, so you in your first year, you shot a lot of threes. In your second year, we wanted you to do this and this and this. And then he did that. Now this year, we want you to do this, 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 this. Should we take a few thises off and just let him shoot some damn threes?
I think that's overblown in terms of like people thinking that the team wants him to do this. The team wants Sadiq to shoot wide open threes when he has them and not up fake and take a one dribble to the right and shoot a more contested shot or off balance shot. I think with Sadiq, I think he is certainly in his own head right now when it comes to shooting the ball. I also am just in the camp of like, he's still very young and he's still figuring it out. And I just think this fan base makes a lot of sweeping conclusions early on. Like, I can't imagine if this fan base got Lauri Markkanen when he was drafted. Look at Lauri now. You know what I mean? Kuzma. Like, it just doesn't always happen when you want it to happen. And guys put things together at different times. And I think Sadiq, one thing Dwayne always says is shooters don't forget to shoot. And I think the things I see with a lot of – like, I think Sadiq is still shooting a lot of threes. He's just missing wide open ones, or he's turning down in rhythm looks for off balance looks. Like, I think he's just in his head. Being around Sadiq, knowing how hard – defensively, he has work to do. But I also think he would be better off as a four in guarding fours, personally. Just because I think that would hide a lot of his – limitations in terms of foot speed and things like that. But this version of Sadiq that we've seen this year, and remember, I thought he started the year fine. Like, I thought he was pretty okay to start the year.
Fine.
He just couldn't get jumpers to fall. Yeah. Everything else was doing pretty good. Then it's kind of been like a week and a half, 2 weeks of like, okay, he's going through it. But Sadiq's one guy I just don't worry about in terms of like figuring it out. Like, I think he'll get there.
It also could very easily, I think we hypothesized this a few weeks ago, it could also just very easily be something as simple as maybe this is a guy who's showing for the third year in a row that it kind of takes him a while to get going. There's a chance that by February, by March, we're not even close to having this conversation anymore. And we'll look back and be like, that was really funny that we were talking about that.
We did that last year.
Right.
Yep. Dwayne talked about it.
And that's Dwayne, what my point is.
He said it the other day. He said Sadiq is... It's like, I don't know what it is, but we have some guys that take a little bit to get going.
Actually, as a matter of fact, he didn't do it his rookie year, and I remember that vividly because one of the first questions I ever fed you was when you asked Dwayne about, because I had asked you, I was like, where's the rookie wall with Stu and Sadiq? I was like, what's going on with that? And then you asked Dwayne about it. So I guess using my own logic, they never hit that. So that means they never even started the season slow and they were just always on 10. So maybe that's not a good example. But that was also a COVID year and that was weird and different.
And they had Blake and Jeremy and Derek. There was just far more attention.
Oh my God. We did not. Blake Griffin was not on that team. He played like 4 games.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Fair. But. I thought he played more than 4, but you might be right. I thought he played like 15, but you're right.
Even if he was in 8 of those games, he only played in 4 of them. You know what I mean? Like, respectfully, I love him, but, and I'll always be apologizing. Hey, we got to cover it. We got to cover it. We're a Pistons podcast. It would be a disservice not to cover the rumor mill, right?
What rumor did I miss?
Stanley Johnson tweeting about the Pistons.
You know what
Don't
we call
come
that?
On me. You know Don't come
we,
on me.
You know what
He's
we call
serviceable.
That? You know what we call that?
A jobless man who wants a job.
Bam.
Listen.
Should we go to story time with James?
Yeah, go to story time with James.
Do you want to set it up or do you want me to?
Sorry, I'm still thinking about the Stanley thing.
It was very cool what he said. But like,
This is your story. I genuinely want to hear it just from your perspective. But I will say somebody came up to you before or during the Clipper game, James.
During the Clipper game. Jeff Garland. If you're not familiar with Jeff Garland, curb your enthusiasm.
If you Google him and see a picture of him, you'll be like, oh, I know this guy.
Yeah, the Goldbergs, Daddy Daycare. So for those unaware, Staples is set up where there's floor seats, there's like a walkway, and then there's the media seat. So we're essentially on the floor, but it's like a few rows back. And Jeff Garland is about diagonal from me. He's like not on the court, but he's like the row behind the court. So similar to where I am, but diagonal to me.
Yep.
And I have an athletic sticker on my laptop. I can't remember what quarter it was. It had to be the first half. I'm like looking down at my screen and I feel like somebody over me. And I look up. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm like shocked, like in my head, because like I know the face. I'm just looking at him. And I'm just like, I can't think of the name, but I know the face. And he comes to me. You work for the Athletic? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you cover the Pistons, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, dude, I read the Athletic every day. He's like, I wake up with my coffee. I read the Athletic. I'm a subscriber. He's like, I'm a big Clippers fan, but my girlfriend, and he pointed to his girlfriend and I waved to her. He was like, she's from Detroit. So we had to come to this game. He's like, but I wanted you to know, like, I'm a subscriber and like, I read the Athletic every day. And he's like, by the way, I'm Jeff Garland. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I fucking know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I'm James Edwards, though. Like, I'm surprised, you know what I mean? So that was crazy.
It's funny that you met Jeff Garland. He introduced himself first.
Yeah.
He said his name first because he was like, I know who you are, sir.
Yeah. Really cool. Really cool dude. Down to earth. It was wild. Yeah. Just to have like a.
In his head, he was like, man, the stars are out in Los Angeles. He saw James and was like, I gotta say something. Yeah, I gotta say something.
And it's not like he was saying like he only reads me, but like he said, he reads the Athletic and he's a Clippers fan. So I'm sure he reads all the LA stuff, but
sure. Yeah. That's awesome, dude. I was so amped when I saw that. The Laker game had Eric Andre, which is great.
Angela Bassett.
And Gene Simmons.
Was he there?
Gene Simmons was there, which
I didn't see him.
There's got to be something about Gene Simmons out there. Does he get a shout out?
Let's not risk it.
Maybe I'm thinking of like Paul Stanley or something like that. How many members of KISS can you name?
It was just Gene Simmons.
How many members of TLC can you name?
All 3.
I can't name one.
Well, that's.
I just know TLC.
Tender Love and Who's Care.
That's what it stands for?
Yeah.
Who's in TLC?
You tell me.
I don't know, dude. I didn't know any of the. I only knew Posh Spice was one of the Spice Girls, like a month ago. I couldn't name any of the Spice Girls either.
You strike me as somebody that would have listened to Spice Girls.
I listened to a lot of Boys to Men.
Did you really? That was Chris, your shit?
Yeah, me and Chris Rucker really, for those Michigan State fans out there, me and Chris D. Rucker really liked Boys to Men.
Shout out to Boys to Men. All right, so am I going to give you, do you want me to give you a history lesson on TLC?
Let's do it, man. For those who don't know about TLC, let's do it.
So first and foremost, rest in peace to Lisa Left Eye Lopez. She was probably the most known because she passed away. For those who are unaware, Flint legend Andre Rison dated Left Eye, and Andre Rison had his house burned down. So we'll so we'll say that.
In relation to the
relationship.
Right. Gotcha.
So shout out to Left Eye. But shout out to shout out to Andre Rison too.
And shout out to Hunter Rison, Michigan State and Grand Valley State football legend.
Is he at Grand Valley now?
He was, yeah.
He's done now. I forgot that they had Hunter Rison.
I think the Lions picked him up for like training camp or something. Or like mini camp. I don't remember what it was. I think the Lions picked him up for like a minute though, and then maybe he's on the practice squad or something, but yeah. He transferred to GV for a year or two.
And then it's T-Boz and Chili.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Who was Beyonce with?
Destiny's Child.
Destiny's Child. I knew that. No, Nick, don't do that. I knew that.
TLC is like, you know the songs, right?
Chasing Waterfalls?
Yeah, Scrubs.
Yeah, Scrubs. Yeah, of course.
But yeah, Lisa Left Eye Lopez burned down Andre Rison's $1.3 million mansion. Back in the day, Andre Rison, Flint legend. I'm just telling you, man, Flint, we're iconic people, brother. Like, you can't rewrite us out of history.
I texted you the other night. This just reminded me because I was thinking about JaVale McGee. And when I texted you this during the Kings game, we'll end on this. I said, is Jalen Duren just Steven Adams, but as a child?
Very similar.
The train of thought there was JaVale McGee was the first player I thought of for that comp. And then I was like, no, it's definitely Steven Adams. Cause I saw him go up for a board and then just put it back down. And I was like, that's just Steven Adams. Also the fact that he's 19 now, well, I guess we can do the Jason Tatum thing. He's only 19, but there was definitely some novelty to watching him punk an NBA team and then being like, yeah, that's an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
That was really fun. I enjoyed that.
He's starting to look more comfortable. He's still struggles around the rim finishing, but he just certainly looks more comfortable as a rebounder. He looks like he's in better shape too. Duren's been solid, man.
Should probably get some starting minutes. Already, James, let's get out of here. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts,
happy Thanksgiving, everybody. If you celebrate,
happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Yep. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if James is feeling generous. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you can also leave 5 stars. We will catch you guys in the next one.